In March 1787, 3 months after his 16th birthday, Ludwig van Beethoven left Bonn for Vienna, arriving in the capital of the empire on Easter Eve, 7th April. He had with him letters of presentation by none other than Emperor Joseph II's brother, the Elector, Archduke Maximilian. There was no one in the city to whom Beethoven might not have been given an introduction. And doubtless he left home with a sheaf of appropriate letters with impressive wax seals. Certainly, he longed to meet Mozart and Haydn. Of a meeting with Mozart, biographers have only conjecture. It seems that the young lad from Bonn was taken to Mozart, who asked him to play something. Of course, Beethoven displayed his incredible ability as a pianist. But Mozart did not seem impressed, saying that after all this was but a pre-rehearsed piece. Beethoven asked the maestro to suggest a theme, at which he flew into a series of variations, which caused Mozart to explain, "Watch out for that boy. One day he will give the world something to talk about." A series of lessons by Mozart to Beethoven then ensued is uncertain. What is certain is that within 2 weeks of his arrival in Vienna, Beethoven received word that his mother was at the final stages of consumption. He hastily left Vienna to be at her bedside, and Magdalena passed away in mid-July 1787. This was to have a portentous effect on the life of the Beethoven family. With Johann sinking deeper into alcoholism and two younger brothers plus an infant sister to provide for, Ludwig found himself as the only responsible adult in the family. His lifelong friend Stefan von Brüning recounted that following a shameful incident during which Johann was imprisoned for drunkenness, Ludwig had to argue with the police to obtain his father's release, after which he officially pleaded with the elector to be formally nominated head of the family and begged him to dismiss his father from service and to pay half his salary to him. For a few more years, Ludwig was to remain in Bonn. This was personally a difficult time for him. There is no doubt that at dark periods at this state of his life, Beethoven relied heavily on his friendships to save him from utter despondency. He served in the Elector's orchestra and taught music to the children of the well-to-do families. Among his pupils were the children of the von Brüning family. Frau von Brüning, intelligent and understanding, had a motherly attitude towards the gruff musician, fully understanding his value. The Brüning family would remain friends for life, as did his friend and biographer Franz Wegler, a young doctor who would marry one of the Brüning girls. According to Wegler, it was in the Brüning home that Beethoven was to meet his most generous and important patron, Count Ferdinand Ernst Joseph Gabriel Waldstein und Wartenberg von Dux. This was a member of the high aristocracy of the empire, knight of the Teutonic Order, of which Maximilian Franz was Grand Master. Waldstein had been summoned to Bonn by Maximilian Franz. Thus, a network of friends were starting to form around this young man who was destined to become one of the world's most renowned musicians. Waldstein was a keen amateur musician, as well as a close friend of the elector. He gave Beethoven a piano, and Beethoven dedicated his Piano Sonata in C Major, Opus 53, to him. This is the work known, in fact, as the Waldstein, which we are just now airing. Note the extremely difficult fingerwork on the pianoforte, and note also the exercise in variations on the main theme. Suddenly, in February 1790, Emperor Joseph II died in Vienna. He had been, like his Prussian contemporary, an admirer of Voltaire and Rousseau. He had been a reformer, what we would call an enlightened despot. He made schooling compulsory for boys and girls, emancipated the serfs, and granted religious autonomy to Jews and Protestants. Known as the Musical King, he had been a patron of the arts and especially admired Mozart, who was to die shortly after. On 5th December 1791, at the age of 35. We shall listen to what historian Simon Azzopardi has to tell us about Emperor Joseph II and his times.
Between 1765 and 1780, Joseph II of the House of Habsburgs was quite the exception in Holy Roman Emperor and sovereign of the Austrian Empire. He responded rather avidly to the contemporary appeals from enlightened philosophers for the application of enlightened despotism, namely absolute rule, servant reason, and utilitarianism, whereby the ruling monarch would optimize the general population's well-being. This would in turn manufacture more consent from the ruled. Alongside with Russia's Catherine II and Prussia's Frederick II, Joseph II has come down in history as one of the three great Enlightenment monarchs. The antithesis of his mother, the former Empress Maria Theresa, Joseph II enacted not less than an average of 690 decrees a year. The spirit of Josephinism prominently features in his domestic program for change. He abolished torture, phased out capital punishment, relaxed censorship, granted legal freedom to serfs, attempted a more egalitarian fiscal setup, made elementary education compulsory, not only for boys, but girls too, created scholarships for talented students, attempted the centralization of the medical care in Vienna, revamped the archaic Catholic Church into a modernized institution, and decreed the toleration of Protestantism and Judaism. His commitment to Enlightenment reforms would have some unwarranted consequences too, in that the Emperor's actions engendered significant opposition, especially from the nobles and the Church. As to Joseph II's foreign policy, this marked more of archetypal despotism than of reformed enlightened rule. War, colonization, expansion, and trade fueled his aggressive politics. He pushed for the annexation of Galicia in 1772 and the first partition of Poland, engaged in an expensive and futile war with the Ottomans, and competed with Prussia over Bavaria at a huge human cost. This belligerent approach of a power-hungry European ruler masked the more benevolent image he had built at home.
As we said, Emperor Joseph II was the elder brother of the Elector Archduke Maximilian Franz. His reforms had made of him a very popular figure in Bonn. His death came as a shock. Very sad news indeed. The poet Severin Anton Averdonek was commissioned to write a text in commemoration, and the duty of composing the music went to Ludwig van Beethoven, who at the time was 19 years old. He rose to the occasion with his cantata on the death of Emperor Joseph II. The most impressive and solemn C minor cantata, the first word solemnly sung by the choir is Death, is seen as the best work of the composer's early Bonn works. It was never performed because the Bonn orchestra protested that it was too difficult, but also because it was not finished in time. It was the composer's first attempt at a big choral work and expressed the sadness of the Elector at his brother's loss, the court's mourning, as well as the young composer's personal angst. Similarly, the successive cantata celebrating the accession of the emperor's brother, Leopold II, to the throne was not performed. But young Beethoven's career was now taking flight. The Elector enriched his court orchestra, recruiting quality musicians who were all given scarlet gold-trimmed uniforms. Finally, scruffy Beethoven was clad in a splendid livery. More importantly, he was now acknowledged as the best pianist in Bonn. When Haydn had passed through Bonn on his way to England, Beethoven was introduced to him. The now world-acclaimed musician promised to listen to Beethoven's work the next time he would pass through Bonn. According to Wegler, Beethoven's friend, Haydn kept his word, and on his returning from England was very pleased to listen to the cantata on the death of Joseph II, and he encouraged Beethoven to further his studies. On Waldstein's recommendation, the Elector decided to grant Beethoven leave to visit Vienna in order to study under Haydn. The boy from Bonn arrived in Vienna in November 1792, on the understanding that with the Elector's financial backing, he would spend an unspecified time in Vienna to then return to Bonn to return to his duty. But again, fate had drafted a different roadmap. On closing this week's program, I wish to thank Simona Zopardi for her historical notes on Joseph II, enlightened despot of his times. And we look forward to next week's program, where we shall be seeing Beethoven's first moves in the capital of the empire.